Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
You're in the madhouse now.
Ahoy hoy everybody, welcome to Talking Simpsons, where we salute our half-inflated Dark Lord. I am your host, Bob Mackey. Who else is here with me?
Christopher Antista, slagging off for the final time.
Awesome. Not in public, I hope.
I said slag off!
And Henry Gilbert, it cost me 1,000 Bazooka Joe comics to be here.
Awesome, so yes.
I have mustard.
This is the Laser Time Podcast Network's chronological exploration of The Simpsons. Today's episode is The Auto Show, which aired on April 23rd, 1992. Chris is going to tell us what happened on this mythical day in real life history.
Goodness, Bobby. This Wayne's World soundtrack has propelled Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody back to the top of the charts after 17 years.
Ooh.
And just a few months after Freddie Mercury's death,
the Simpsons. He was still alive to see that.
The Simpsons Yellow album is announced, although it won't be released until 1998.
Pass.
And of course, this lovely week is capped off by the Los Angeles riots in the wake of the Rodney King verdict.
Woo. Can't we all just get along?
You can learn all about that on the episode two of the OJ documentary.
I'm trying to think if there are any LA riot jokes on The Simpsons because
next
everyone
year.
Was in LA at this point.
No, next year they will be. They talk on the commentary. In season four, like in production, during the riots and being told, like, "Hey, you guys should get out of here. There's going to be a riot," and they're like, "Nah, nothing happened.
We've
like,
got cartoons to make here."
Yeah, I mean, they also talked about how they during the production on The Critic, Al Jean talked about how OJ's car was going to drive by them.
That's
and
right.
They thought like we should get a car. We should get somebody out there with a banner that says like
"Watch
the Critic."
The Critic.
Like, they needed it, even with that pre-home improvement.
See if we can throw AC a shirt, something.
Jeez. Well, that show was killed by more mid-90s tabloid. The show was killed by Nancy Kerrigan.
That's right. Oh God.
Yeah, but the
90s, everyone.
Bohemian Rhapsody was all, that was how I was introduced to the
yes.
song.
Same here.
It's pretty nuts. It was a music video that aired on MTV in rotation of all new songs. And I didn't, why does this footage look so old?
Wasn't it cut to the Wayne's World?
It was. It had Wayne's World footage, but it had, I guess there's an original Bohemian Rhapsody.
Archival footage, yeah. Which the Muppets parody.
The Muppets
later.
Parody. Yeah. I love that parody.
Do you think kids today, somebody saw the new Suicide Squad film and we're like, oh, this song, I love this song, what is this?
Did you not notice that like every song they used in the trailer was from Wayne's World?
Ballroom Blitz, which wasn't in the movie. That's the
it
soundtrack
was in the movie.
In that movie.
I've not Cassandra
seen...
sang it.
Okay.
I've not seen this movie, but I bet they used the Sound of Silence. Did they?
Actually,
they
not
might
though.
What a show of self control.
They did use Fortunate Son though. I heard
Fortunate
that.
Son of the most inopportune. I've seen that. I get irritated when they edit out the subversive lyrics and put it in patriotic Tommy Hilfiger commercials.
Yeah, that's right.
And even more irritated here, this was just to show Killer Croc.
Yeah.
It ain't me!
Well, you know, speaking of licensed music...
Ooh. This episode is heavy with it.
And
very expensive, right, Henry?
Very expensive.
It's why they didn't replay this episode a lot. It didn't get re-aired very often. Because the licensing rights were just too much. And that it only... I remember it aired the first time I taped it. Mm-hmm. But then the only other time I remember it airing, it wasn't in syndication, but it was on like they were doing a rock block of reruns one night that was hosted by Dennis Leary.
Oh, I bet Flaming Moe's was in this too.
Yeah,
right?
And they're just like, yeah, it's this one. But they license so many songs, including joke songs that aren't popular.
It's very crazy. It's crazy because this is
my little guy's first rock concert. I hope the Spinal Taps don't play too loud.
Oh, Marge, I went to thousands of heavy metal concerts and it never hurt me. I hear you. Come on, boy.
I know you edited that, Chris, but I want someone to isolate Marge's audio because on the commentary they say she's saying some very funny things. We just can't
really?
Hear them. Yeah. I guess you were supposed to be able to hear some of it. They decided to turn it way up, the feedback, so you couldn't hear any of it. But I want to know, like... Did we know who the Spinal Taps were at this point? I took it at face value until my parents were like, that's a fake band.
I never knew this was a fake band. I had not seen this as Spinal Tap. And by the way, this is Spinal Tap.
Fellas, I'm going to hit you with a phrase that has dogged you throughout your career. Washed up.
Yet here you are, among the top 105 concert acts today. What's your secret, guys?
Well, after the Berlin Wall fell, our records started selling on the dismal side of the Iron Curtain, and naturally that gave us a boost. Hmm. We're very big in Bulgaria, and what's his name? Yadagaria? Hungaria? Yeah, whatever. I can't think of anyone who's benefited more from the death of communism than us. Well, maybe the people who actually live in the communist countries.
Oh, yeah, I hadn't thought of that.
Jeez. I bet you're right. Yeah, on the other hand, each of us just bought our own soccer team. How many Hungarians can say that, eh?
So I would say maybe 80% of the first act is just a Spinal Tap sketch.
Yes. And,
before they are killed.
But depressingly, like, I love Spinal Tap now. That movie is fantastic.
That's great, yeah.
It is awesome. And it,
I haven't seen it in a while, but
all
I
of those
it.
Jokes are lost on you if you do not understand what Spinal Tap is. That they are an example of a pathetic, like, what would you call them?
Well, I mean, they are a metal band. They're like an early 80s metal band.
Yeah, like a late 70s, early 80s metal band, but also not very good, but inexplicably popular, and they're really dumb. And like you'll get none of that. I didn't get any of that not knowing who they were.
No, definitely not. My mom knew who the... She knew who the Spinal Taps were, and she explained them to me, and I don't think I saw the Spinal Tap film until like a few years later.
Until it was re-released on DVD.
It is my favorite thing. I love Spinal Tap
it's really
so
good.
Much. Like, and if you don't know, sandwich, like shark sandwich, shit sandwich. Yeah. You can't put, they couldn't publish that. No.
Smell the glove.
And then we got to see it. I got to see it at the local Castro Theater. They had it on the big screen, and it was amazing to see it on the big screen and to hear a whole audience laughing.
It's crazy. It's Rob Reiner's first movie as a director, but it also created the style that Christopher Guest continued to do. The mockumentary style.
It was a really early mockumentary, at least in America, an early mockumentary about this band that's like terrible. Like, they're not good, but they also wrote original songs for
and
them.
And really performed them.
Which I think are pretty good. The songs are catchy. Yeah.
They are.
They're fun.
Big Bottom. Like, I think the songs...
Big Buns, my girl's got
I think that Michael McKean and Christopher Guest, of course, if we didn't mention, Harry Shearer is the third member of Spinal Tap and also a member of the Simpsons voice cast. Yep. It seemed, I guess, if you knew all that, which I did not, this was only a matter of time of getting Spinal Tap on the show.
It was beautiful. And I loved having Spinal Tap on there. I bet the writers loved writing for Spinal Tap. I bet a lot of the writers on The Simpsons were partially inspired by Spinal Tap to get into comedy writing. But as they say on the commentary, they say that, except we had one who was a difficult guest, they said, and the other was really keen. And then someone was a sheer delight.
Yes, so. I believe Christopher Guest refused to say certain jokes. So certain things are jokes that he created on the spot to replace.
He is a funny guy who can make up a joke. So.
He's really good, but he's kind of a recluse. He's really weird, and I think he's also royalty. So I have
Sir
to imagine he's terrible.
Yeah.
Lord.
Oh,
he is
Lord.
A lord.
Oh, my God.
He is a lord. So he's spoiled rotten, very talented, kind of method.
Well, and on the spectrum, they say, too.
Maybe.
Some of his friends have said that, and that... you know, was Harry Shearer? Harry Shearer is friends, according to his WTF interview. He is friends now with Guest, but not McKean.
McKean, who seems like the nicest man in the universe,
based on his Twitter account. Yes, and his interviews.
Better Call Saul's for the kids. Michael McKean.
What a great performance!
And also, you know, they kind of did a Spinal Tap. They've done Spinal Tap reunions outside of this appearance too, and though they also would. Do a sort of one in The Mighty Wind because the three of them play a different band together, the Folksmen,
which I think I think they might predate Spinal Tap, but like the three of them were performing as these characters for a while, and that's because they are actual comedians and actual musicians, so they ended up making up these bands back in the 70s.
It's beautiful. I do love Spinal Tap.
Yeah, it's
so
really
much.
Good.
I think on the Criterion Edition, they even do the commentary in character.
They do both, as the actors and the characters.
And both fake bands are really just, you know, just setting up high concept fart jokes, like A Mighty Wind and Break Like the Wind. It's just like, you're just
it's
telling fart jokes.
It's blowing you and me.
Yeah.
So outside of Spinal Tap,
Homer's... Can I get one more Spinal?
Okay, let's hear it.
See, guys, I wonder if you'd mind recording a couple of promos for us.
Well, like what? Maybe you could say, nobody rocks like Bill and Marty on KBBO.
Well, we don't know that, do we?
What if somebody rocks as good as you?
Or better.
I mean, we don't want to look stupid.
Okay, we can respect that.
How about rock-a-doodle-doo? You're listening to Bill and Marty.
Yeah, sure. Okay. That's good.
That doesn't break any ethical boundaries.
What I love about that, too, is getting to hear Dan Castellaneta improv with them. Like, he's such a great improviser, too, to get to play with them. I wish he did it more, you know? I love that. So Homer, by the way, Homer has Billy Beer in his...
What the fuck is that?
I looked it up. Billy Beer was a beer launched in 1977, promoted by Jimmy Carter's brother, Billy Carter, and closed in 1978.
Every Southern president has, like, a weird hillbilly brother. Like, Clinton had one, too, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Obama just has Joe Biden.
Yeah. So Billy Beer's slogan was, brewed expressly for and with the personal approval of one of America's all-time great beer drinkers, Billy Carter. But the shameful secret is, in private, he drank Pabst. Oh. So...
Jesus, I wouldn't want to admit to that either.
I don't know what a 20-year-old can of Billy Beer tastes like, but Homer seems to enjoy it. Yeah,
it'd be pretty skunky, man. But yeah, and I liked his concert jacket. Was like leather with all those fringes, like so stupid looking.
Yeah, just that it's crazy. This is the auto show, and you can't not remember the auto show, but like half of it is just set up to make jokes at the expense of music and rock and roll. More than half of it, I would say.
I forget how they got to auto. It's like, okay, Spinal Tap, then Bart playing the guitar, and then that leads to auto.
Yeah, he appears in the concert for Lingen and has a line, and you wouldn't guess that he's the central character for the rest of the episode.
And I did like the joke when they arrived. So Bart and Milhouse get dropped off at the concert by Homer. And there were two. One, the mega dated joke where of 292 t-shirts, $30, which one, that's not an expensive t-shirt.
No, not anymore. It's pretty common.
And in 1992, like them saying the year in the episode, like that really struck me. Like, oh, they're actually saying what
year. Yeah, they rarely do that. And just, man, the concert shirts with the tour dates on the back. Yeah. Does that happen anymore?
And then next to them was comic book guy selling bootleg t-shirts. And I miss when he did that. Like, he stopped being the bootleg t-shirt guy.
Was it comic book guy proper? He was kind of
off
model.
He had the voice. Off model.
His beard was colored in for some reason. Yeah. But we have another Homer joke. One of many, I think, that substitutes sex for food. Where it's like some of the best times I've had were in the backseat of a car and it's him just eating a sandwich.
Yes.
Or like a hoagie or something.
And I cannot believe how much I relate to that now. I would rather eat than fuck. Only
Homer
36.
Homer brought all that food with him. Yeah. It was impressive. And yeah, I think my favorite one of those jokes is when Homer says, like, I don't know, Ned. There's something about having two wives. Chop, chop, dig, dig. And then even Marge in his thing says, you know, two wives could do more things for you, Homer. I hear chopping, but I don't hear digging.
But I also love the joke. The banter with the crowd that the tap does.
Oh, yeah. This morning, we were driving down Route 401.
That's only 4 miles from my house.
And we thought they knew how to rock in Shelbyville. But nobody rocks like Springfield.
How much was the Shelbyville-Springfield rivalry brought up by
not
this
much
point?
Not much at this point.
No, it was another town.
It was the
I
only
think.
Other town they called out by, fictional town that they called out by name.
I mean, the first time they were in Shelbyville was for Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? And and it wasn't a negative thing. It was
just
the
another
next town
place.
Over. I think this is the first time it was a competition.
It's evolving.
Yeah, yes. And this was something I noticed in this episode and a lot of episodes in season 3 where... Instead of having to think of just like a crazy side thing, they can just have a bunch of observational jokes about things in real life. The next episode will have a ton of observational stuff about being the first kid at school, or the new kid at school. Mm-hmm. You know, in Homer at the Bat, it was just observational jokes about playing softball or like baseball jokes. And this one, it was like, what are concerts like? And so the
great show, Let's Riot.
The obvious pandering to the audience when things go wrong. Huh. No bleeding spirit. Splish splash. Love that line.
That's a great line.
And also the half-inflated Dark Lord is beautiful. But isn't it weird that, like, it is the devil that is the devil? Like,
it's the real Simpsons devil.
It's the Simpsons it's the Harry Shearer Simpsons devil.
Yeah. I'm a devil!
I feel like that's, like, the official devil. Canonical devil in the Simpsons world.
And also that they do... The way they do the joke about how, like, no, at this, they actually do have kids worship the devil at this
broadcast. I felt pretty edgy for 92, a bunch of people throwing up the horns for the half-inflated Dark Lord. Yeah.
Now they go, oi! Yeah.
So there's a ton of songs that play in this episode, a lot of Spinal Tap songs.
A lot of songs just kind of played straight, even though they're a little silly.
Too. Yeah. Well, this had baffled me forever, because didn't we discuss, I think, in Bart Gets Hit by a Car, They used a Herb Alpert song.
Was it Tijuana Taxi? Or,
yeah, because there's some connection with the Simpsons production staff. And
Jay Kogan or...
I think it's Jay Kogan.
Yeah, it's Jay Kogan. He is kind of like old Hollywood royalty, or his dad was, mm-hmm. who just knows Herb Alpert and...
Fucking love them. It's so good.
And so through his connection, he was able to get the license for it. And so that's, again, the case with Spanish Flea.
It is this case with Spanish Flea, which this is the Herb Alpert version, but Homer was singing lyrics... that I'd never heard before.
There was a little Spanish flea, a record star, P.O.D.P. Heard of singers like Beatles, the Chipmunks he's seen on TV. Why not a little Spanish flea? And so he hit.
And like for
it's
years,
like a donkey from Madrid. Is that
for,
it? Yeah.
For years that baffled me, and then we—I forget where we were doing it on Laser Time, but we discovered that somebody covered it like 10 years later and added their own lyrics.
That's the first time I've heard it was Laser Time or one of the Laser
Thank
Time shows.
Thank you,
Blabby. Yeah, like, yeah. Do we know who?
I feel like it was a shame song, like shame it, songs that are older than you.
Our annual shame songs episode. It's by a band. Do you have the band, Henry?
It is the Modern Heirs. In the late 60s, they released their cover of it with lyrics.
Lyrics to Sandstorm and cover it right now?
Only 50 years ago.
At the end of their song, at the end of their lyricized version of it, they talk about Herb Alpert. They say like, and then the flea goes to play with Herb Alpert.
Wow. Yeah.
It sounds like they're pitching a Hanna-Barbera show or something. And then he solves mysteries.
So yeah, the song was more popularized as the theme for The Dating Game.
Yes.
You're right. Yeah.
The song sounds like the 70s for some reason, even though it's not from there.
It's a beautiful song. Yeah. I love just the trumpety.
And there's a ton of musical flourishes in the episode. I love Brockman.
Of course, it would be wrong to suggest that this sort of mayhem began with rock and roll. After all, there were riots at the premiere of Mozart's The Magic Flute. So, what's the answer? Ban all music? In this reporter's opinion, the answer, sadly, is yes.
What was the line that kicked off the riot? Like, good night, Springton, there will be no encore. Yeah.
I love that line so much. It is a great shorthand for, like, this was a bad live thing you went to, and it's over early. Like,
and I was like, do I get clips of that? Everybody riots, but it is so inconsequential to this episode. It doesn't matter that there was a riot in Spinal Tap didn't play that long.
Bart just gets the music bug for like a day.
Yeah,
and I also do like how Christopher gets it. My vision,
medium setting,
and
it's pretty much to lead into Bart gets a guitar, which doesn't lead into the actual plot of the episode either, and we're halfway in.
It's like a relay race, and he hands it off to Otto, and it's Otto's show now.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about what Bart said. If he's really interested in being a musician, maybe we should buy him a guitar.
Well, that's a waste of money. We already have a guitar.
I meant a real guitar.
This is real.
Wow.
It's a weird joke.
And it came with a free instruction book.
Love that book.
Oh, boy, we spent a lot of money, so you'd better get real good real fast or pow!
Homer!
Hey, I thought I was supposed to encourage him.
It took me a long time to convince my parents to get me a guitar, only to give up.
Yeah.
I think every white suburban boy has a guitar for at least a year and has that dream.
Hey,
it
seemed like my ticket out of here, man.
I didn't get the guitar bug. My little brother did, though, and he took about a year of lessons. And
I did until the person giving me lessons says, I'm not going to see you anymore because you're not taking this seriously. That's what my instructor said.
I learned how to play a lot of Weezer songs, and I probably still can.
A lot of bass lines on my guitar.
Yeah. Ones who stick with it, they don't become professionals. They become the guy at the party who plays a Sublime song.
Hey, guys.
And of course, this also leads to one of my favorite Bart visions of his future.
Bart, you've got to go on.
Slag off.
You've changed, man. It used to be about the music.
I said slag off.
Cool.
I love how every dire Bart flash forward ends with him thinking it's cool.
It's awesome. Like, it's awesome to fail.
That was the mayor run me out of town. Cool.
It's beautiful.
It's something I have to look forward to once the bottom falls out in this little career.
I want
to
see Wasted Rocker Bart and Gambling Hag Lisa together in their own future dark timeline.
I forgot to mention the act break ended with Milhouse being injured. Yeah. And I think that's the first time, though hardly the last, that they'll get comedy out of Milhouse being hurt.
Was the line my glasses or was it something else?
Help,
yeah.
Help.
He's just under a bunch of chairs.
Yeah, he's just very hurt.
And then after all this, that's when we finally get to Bart bringing his guitar on the bus, which is the point of the episode, is so he can auto, guitar, man.
So Bart's not doing well at it.
Yeah.
And I did like the bit where Lisa...
He thinks it's broken.
Where Lisa is playing her saxophone and like finally getting to show off and make Bart feel less for something. Mm-hmm. And then also just the line... Well, it sounds polywally crappy. Ha ha, burn. Love that.
Auto plays another expensive song.
Yeah,
in this episode.
Very. I can't imagine they didn't have to pay for this.
Was this a stereotype at this point in history?
By 92, Freebird was a stereotype.
I wasn't aware of it. Mystery Science Theater 3000 is where I learned about Freebird before I knew the song, what the song sounded like. Even though I had heard the song, I just didn't know that was called Freebird.
I mean, it's still a joke that persists at concerts, and I think there's one band out there that will actually play the whole of song of Freebird if people stream it, just to be a dick.
Both of those prospects are
annoying.
Maybe
it's like, I forget who it is, actually.
The commentary is a rare commentary with James L. Brooks on it.
Really?
And you're hoping, when I first listened to it, I was hoping, like, oh man, they're going to drop some big knowledge here. But they're quiet for lots of it, and maybe there was stuff edited out, because there are sometimes you just hear silence.
No, the fucking boss is in the room, and you can't speak freely.
But then they get silent before he starts to play Freebird, mm-hmm. and then when it cuts back to auto-playing Freebird, then he goes like, oh man, this is such an expensive song. And then he realizes, like, what a terrible commentary this is, that all it is just us complaining about licensing songs.
Whoa, whoa, whoa!
Although I'm sure I will receive a severe wedgie from my busmates, I must remind you we should have been at school 10 minutes ago.
Ah! Uh-oh. Better fasten your seatbelts, little dude.
We don't have seatbelts.
Just try to go limp. Better take a shortcut.
The writers admit that this show killed Otto, but this has the best Otto lines of any Otto episode. I mean, any episode with Otto in it, I think.
But I think they saw that they kind of like, oh, we did everything we could.
Yes, one episode.
He's so one-dimensional that you can't do much with him.
Yeah, it wasn't... I mean, there's a lot of, like, first three seasons people who... They get all they're going to get out of them, and then they kind of like fall to the background for a one joke thing, like Barney or Edna kind of does
Mr. Largo
stuff.
Mr. Largo.
But then by season four, they're like, oh, we think Lenny's funnier. Hey, what's Apu doing? Yeah. Or like, then they just turn to new, or they turn to lesser used characters. I love the try to go limp, and I also love. When they're driving through the stuff, one, they drive through the tire fire, which is a great, history thing. And then they kill Spinal Tap. That was them saying, fuck you, guys.
That's why there was never another Spinal Tap movie, because they died in this episode.
Yeah.
There was another Spinal Tap movie.
Really?
I have to remember it. No, but...
Oh, there wasn't. Okay.
There wasn't, but Christopher Guest directed a couple Honda commercials. So only his character is in, like, playing guitar on top of a Honda.
That's weird. Okay.
It was like 10 years ago.
But they just like, it's such a fuck you to them blowing them up. And then they said that on the commentary too, they said that Christopher Guest was watching him with his kid, and his kid said like, so dad, did they kill you? Like, I guess they did. Like, which by the way, that kid, I think, is the one who grew up to be the giant fighting game man.
That gets Jamie Lee Curtis to Evo.
Yeah.
Oh, that's how that happened.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. They got it through him. The she loves those things anyway now too. And then, so that's why you see the pictures of Jamie Lee Curtis
of Warcraft
as Vega,
cosplay. Yeah.
Her as Vega, and Christopher Guest as Dr. Farts-a-Lot from
Tekken 3. As Boskanovich?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Oh, I forgot he cosplays too.
Yeah, well, because he can be somewhat anonymous, but like Jamie Lee Curtis, she'll be recognized.
Gotta say, by the time you hear this, Laser Time is probably doing some fun stuff with True Lies. That movie is really, really underrated. And
even with Tom Arnold.
Yeah, yes, it's really fun.
The Simpsons will be right back.
Have you ever been on Talking Simpsons, Elston?
Yeah, a couple times.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You remind me a lot of Otto. He is the subject of this very show. Yeah, I'm sorry.
How is that?
You have the same haircut. The headphones you're wearing right now are a key giveaway.
All the years as a bus driver and burnout.
And Otto gets kicked out of his house in this episode.
I remember this.
And it's probably a good thing, because you know what he had? A terrible mattress.
I'm sure.
If only Otto had heard
of Casper mattresses, man, I'm probably going to get sued for doing a Simpsons voice during an ad.
But Talking Simpsons today is brought to you by Casper Mattresses. And if you don't know what Casper mattresses do, they combine high-density memory and premium latex foam to create a sleep surface that contours to your body, no matter how Otto-like and keeps you cool and balanced through the
Even
night.
Even if I had to take the mattress and sleep in a garage in the floor.
Or a dumpster brand dumpster.
Yeah, I wish a dumpster brand dumpster.
And guess what? Talking Simpsons listeners can get $50 towards any mattress just by going to CasperTrial.com/LaserTime. And price is important here, people. Some of us, yeah, we drive a school bus. At least I, as a podcaster, make about the same salary. I can't afford $1,000 mattress. And how much do you think Casper mattresses go for, Elston?
Thousands of dollars.
Stop it. They start at just $500.
I don't know why I keep going so high.
I know. And they're available in sizes ranging from twin all the way to California King. And as a further incentive to try it, you do not have to drive a school bus or even have a car because they will ship the mattress directly to you. Again, as Otto is emphasizing, a place to sleep is very important, so why not try out a Casper mattress for yourself? Because there is a risk-free 100-night trial, Elston.
That's so long.
Exactly. And within that 100-day period, you don't like it? Call Casper. You'll get a full refund and they'll come pick it up from you for free.
Whoa. I don't even have a car, so they'd have to.
You don't have the car. Now you drive the school bus. Man, Fox is so going to sue us. But it doesn't matter. I'm that excited about Casper, and you should be too. And if you want to get $50 towards any mattress at Casper, you can go to CasperTrial.com/LaserTime and get $50 towards any mattress. I know I repeated myself. You like Laser Time shows? Then you might like Bonus Time, Laser Time's weekly bonus show exclusively on patreon.com/lasertime. Here's a taste of what you've been missing.
Last week, I was on the bus when a girl was almost robbed.
Ooh.
And I didn't do anything, partially
kid.
Because nothing
you
happened.
You had a PS4 on you? Like,
yeah. Yes, literally. That's why. So this was the day that we did capture for the Randy Savage video. So I'm on the bus, and as they're getting off the bus, one of the guys behind me tries to grab this girl's phone. He fails at it. Mm-hmm. So, they just all run off the bus anyway. Personally, I'm like, I wouldn't have done anything. Because, what if I go and try to do something, which I wouldn't because I'm a chicken shit. But if I would have, then my bag is open for that kid to run off. And yeah. And
there's all your Macho Man DLC on that.
Yeah.
You know how much that fetches in the black
market? A lot. No, it's the Hogan DLC that's worth money.
Get Bonus Time, Laser Time's weekly, full-length, uncensored, and ad-free Patreon-exclusive podcast, as well as weekly full-length movie commentaries, wrestling and cartoon video commentaries, physical rewards, the first season of Talking Simpson, and more at patreon.com/lasertime, starting at just $5. You'll help us live, and we'll do our best to help you never be bored again. Otto, wrecking the school bus, he's suspended.
Oh, it's a miracle no one was hurt.
Oh, I stand on my record. 15 crashes and not a single fatality.
Let's see your license, pal.
No can do. Never got one. But if you need proof of my identity, I wrote my name in my underwear. Oh, wait, these aren't mine.
Well, that tears it. Until you get a license and wear your own underwear, mister, you are suspended without pay.
Who's gonna drive the bus?
I drove an all-terrain vehicle in Da Nang. I think I can handle it.
They're really playing up the Skinner Vietnam stuff throughout this arc.
They found it episodes ago, and now they're really falling in love with it. Yeah. And
every episode now, since they introduced it in a very very lightly in Separate Vocations, they've been hitting it so hard every episode, and the next episode even harder.
We're going to see flashbacks soon, but this has some great Skinner stuff. It's like the Otto, that's one palindrome you won't be hearing anymore.
Where's Otto?
Otto. That's one palindrome he won't be hearing for a while. Okay. Off we go!
Hail to the bus driver, bus driver, bus driver. Hail to the bus driver, man. He drinks and he cusses, he stinks up the buses. Hail to the bus driver, man.
But I like that Skinner is too timid to do it. That he won't push his way in. And seemingly keeps the kids in the bus all day.
I can't imagine having to be a bus driver to both pilot a vessel and be a babysitter to 30 children who do not respect you.
They have so much sympathy for bus drivers in this episode. Yeah. They imply that being a bus driver is worse than being in Vietnam.
Totally.
Because Skinner can't handle it. He was in Vietnam, a prisoner of war. Yeah. And he's just like, I can't do this.
Though my favorite parody of a bus driver, a sketch about a bus driver, was the UCB one of the woman who will then sit on
I'm going to sit on you.
I just had a vivid memory of trying to finger my rare girlfriend in high school on a school bus as if I could do that anywhere else, and that would be appropriate, and I could get away with it.
You want to do it somewhere with a lot of mirrors.
And I'm one of 40 kids that this person has to watch while they're driving. Like, the poor bus drivers. Jesus Christ.
He should be in jail.
He really should.
Cop should have arrested him.
He's driving without a license, wrecking the bus.
He gets off pretty easy.
But he gets kicked out of his house. But, hey, at least he can stay with the Simpsons.
I don't understand this. Why can't you stay with your parents?
Oh, the Admiral and I don't get along. Please let me stay here. I've got nowhere else to go.
Forget it. That line didn't work for my dad, and it's not going to work for you.
Dad, Otto's going through a real tough time. Can't he stay with us for a while?
I know we didn't ask for this, Homer, but doesn't the Bible say, whatsoever you do to the least of my brothers, that you do unto me?
Yes, but doesn't the Bible also say, thou shalt not take moochers into thy hut?
Please, Dad, if you let Otto stay, he'll help around the house and chip in a few bucks whenever he can.
All right, he can stay. But I get to treat him like garbage.
Wow, what's the catch?
There's so much great Otto stuff. Like, anything from the vampire's point of view?
A couple things there, too, that he mentioned.
The Admiral. I love that.
Yeah. When he got married...
Oh, that paid off, right?
Yeah, the Admiral was there. Like, his high-ranking naval father.
But that, by the way,
he didn't respect him. Still,
I mean, my grandfather was an admiral. That's a really high-ranking officer. His dad must suck. Well, sorry, they couldn't be not suck, but couldn't be more different from Otto's personality.
That is like the stereotype. The more straight-laced and successful the parent, the more burnout the child usually.
Because I had an admiral, and I didn't realize until now how disappointed he constantly was with everything I said or did. He was very nice, but like I did talk to his son finally at his funeral, and like he was mystified by you. He didn't understand you at all.
I also did love Otto's terrible performance at the driving test and how he insulted Patty and me, like, you were born a man, right? Yes. Yeah, hey, you can tell me. I'm open-minded.
I was avoiding controversy by not getting that clip.
Otto was not hateful. He just he was curious.
Yeah. Well, and ignorant, right? But not hateful. And also, did this teach you guys that Dumpster was a brand and not a
Is that true?
Culture?
I've been sleeping in trash coat.
It's a brand, and actually very recently it was AP Style or Chicago, some important style guide made it official that
you have to capitalize
it? Now lowercase d dumpster.
Thank
now
God.
Because it used to be like it is a brand, you write you
holy
would write,
shit
it was the same kind of rule of like Kleenex is a brand, it is you, not
and Band-Aid and Coke Band-Aid, they're all brands,
so it used to be that way too, but now it's
I always say adhesive strips always.
But yeah, that a dumpster brand
legit did not know that. Well, I that just sort of leads us into my line of the show.
That's the joke.
Hey, how come you never play your guitar anymore?
I'll tell you the truth, Dad. I wasn't good at it right away, so I quit. I hope you're not mad.
Son, come here. Of course I'm not mad. If something's hard to do, then it's not worth doing. You just stick that guitar in the closet next to your shortwave radio, your karate outfit, and your unicycle, and we'll go inside and watch TV.
What's on?
It doesn't matter.
I love that. Again, more season 3 continuity. They're really caught up in continuity. We have the karate outfit being referenced, which was was that season 3?
Production 2. Production 2. Start of season 3.
That was when Flanders failed or whatever?
Yep.
I thought so.
But also, I definitely internalized that lesson as a kid. I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
But then, at around that same age, it was when I tried things and it wasn't easy immediately, and so then I just stopped.
I had everything Homer mentioned. Yeah. A shortwave radio, karate gi, and a unicycle I begged my father for the $20 to buy from a trailer park garage sale.
I think I just tried every sport and was like, this is not for me. Moving around outside, no thank you. Not going to do this anymore.
And I think still today, 24 years later, that joblessness equals watching Price is Right shirtless.
Still,
it's Drew Carey now, but
hey,
it's
I have a job.
My line of the show is actually Homer's brain saying, I want some peanuts.
I want some peanuts. I do love that.
That's better.
I mean, this was close, too, when Otto goes back to get his driver's license from, what is it, Patty or Selma?
It's Patty.
It's Patty.
Patty.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know about this, Bart, dude. Your dad is right. I am a bum.
He didn't call you a bum. He called you a sponge.
Sponge! Does this look like something a sponge would do? I'll show him who's a sponge.
Still so baffling that that would offend him on that level.
I love how arbitrary the difference between bum and sponge is. There is really no difference, but it's like, sponge!
Yeah, no, bum, because bum means you're worthless. This just accuses you of mooching. Which we've all done.
Yeah, I like, it hurts my hand seeing him,
he
like, make the
marks
in the wall.
Government building with his bare hands.
But when he's, like, living with them, too, when he tells that story to Lisa, he's like even holding an old timey candle. I love that little touch. But the story of the axe wielding maniac in the back seat.
We did miss. When Otto met Patty and she was explaining the pens. I like when she's like, "We won't be needing this."
We won't be needing this.
We misspelled bus.
I had to consolidate, and I love when they find a natural bond. They have a common enemy, and her laughing at the end. I love it.
Well, if it isn't Wee Willie Washout.
I want to take the test again.
Why?
So I can staple my license to Homer Simpson's big bald head.
Really? Well, here's your written test. I'll get you started. B, C, D, A, B.
Homer had a piece of food on his face for 3 days. It wasn't little either. It was a chicken wing.
Wing.
Ooh, what was that?
I do love wing.
It's so great.
And then she said, "Let's go get some margaritas." I'm buying.
Yeah. You know what's funny though? They have to do it to not have the connection, but mm-hmm. Bart is right outside, but mm-hmm. he doesn't go in with them because if he'd gone in, then Patty would have said like, Bart, what are you doing here?
Yeah. Or talk shit. Couldn't talk as much shit about
it. You feel like Bart would want to go in just to pursue this curiosity. Yeah. Like, what the fuck is he going to do next?
Maybe as a
kid. Yes, all kids want to go to the DMV.
Well, it's like Otto just like beat up a building. What's he going to do now?
Maybe as a kid, I thought like, oh, you're not allowed in the DMV. It's like a bar or whatever. Oh, no kids allowed type thing. You know, there was one of my favorite lines was way back there. Where Bart plays his imitation of Marge, like,
I meant to grab that.
It's beautiful.
Marge!
Do I really sound like that?
It wasn't me. I don't sound like that. Everybody says that when they hear themselves.
Yeah.
And it was just a great thing. And they talk about it on the commentary, too, that, like, everybody who works on the show has a bad Marge impression.
Yeah. Homer.
Homer. They just had Nancy do her bad Marge impression and did it live. Like, that was great. And so then when Otto gets his job back, it is a pat if cute ending.
Yeah.
I do like it.
I wish we could close the show with it. We don't work like that. But I love this clip.
Hail to the bus driver, bus driver, bus driver.
Yes. Hail to the bus driver man.
I like the guitar in
me
there
too.
To signify Otto's like rise back to his like current position.
I love Skinner's line. I love the reprise, and I love that it. Oh, this is the rock show. You forgot about that because it's been all Otto for like 8 minutes.
And it is kind of. I mean, we barely even talked about it here too. Mm. But Otto has a talent, which is guitar, but he doesn't do anything.
I think he's just too much of a stoner to pursue it, or just too like aimless to pursue it. Yeah, he's really good at guitar, but I feel like this is a really really short episode of Talking Simpsons, but I feel like as we get towards the end of the seasons, things get punchier and more frivolous.
Yeah.
They're less concerned with like tying things up in a neat little package. They want to just have fun and be sloppy and messy and be kind of mean, and this is what this episode is.
Yeah, that line of the show is there because it's like one of the first times they use very sincere music to create an insincere joke.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
that it is like that was a sitcom dad talk. But saying all
very
the wrong
Danny Tanner
things.
Moment,
saying all the wrong things in the right way with the right music behind it, and teaching Bart a lesson that will ruin him for life.
Just brought up when Flanders failed, and that's like a very like on the nose sitcom-y ending where
they all
get together and sing,
and everyone knows when to chime in. Yeah, and in this episode, I feel like it's bad that Otto has his drawback. He really shouldn't.
Yeah,
and it was only because Patty hates Homer. That's how he got his drawback. That's the only reason why.
Yeah, his anger didn't make him a better driver.
No, like, no. In fact, we saw him doing poorly, just like running over every pedestrian sign on the road test.
And also, there was the joke that his license put his name on it, which is Otto Man.
That's right.
And that was the animators who chose to do that. They thought of having his name be Otto Mechanic because it is a real last name, Mechanic, that some people have.
Huh?
But the animators are like, it's Man.
And that's the first time they would perform such a joke.
And also, until the second time I watched this, I never noticed it before, but when Skinner watching Otto drive away, he drives through past a stop sign. Yeah. He does not stop at a stop sign.
Oh, I did not see that.
That's
awesome.
Drives right through it at a four-way stop. Like, just a dangerous thing. His first thing is...
Again, we're at, like, peak Simpsons, where, like, there's all those visual jokes that you miss out on.
I totally missed that joke until you just said it. Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah,
it's good to know there's jokes I can still miss in these episodes.
No, there's still... I mean, even when we're watching it with a fine-tooth comb, there's still more jokes to find. And, yeah, you know, this is a cute episode that is half a Spinal Tap crossover, and then half a pilot for the Otto show that doesn't go.
So RIP Otto, you'll show up every maybe 10 episodes with one joke in the background. Like,
now my shoes are talking.
It's flagrant false advertising.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think by season 7, like, oh, he can be our pot joke machine.
Yeah.
Like, because he isn't that here.
It just becomes a real Barney, I think.
It is, but it's weird that metalhead entry-level worker thing, like, that is... pervasive in Florida where I'm from. My friend said he we were really high and he just turned and like, all metalheads are painters. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like go watch somebody, like any white dude painting something, like an Albertsons or like a construction building, and then when they take off their smock, it's a metal shirt every time. And he's totally right. Totally right.
So many of them.
I mean, it is a real
auto type.
White trash heshers grow into that job, like that, or auto mechanics, actual auto mechanics, or things, you know, just the kind of jobs you fall into, I guess. Mm-hmm. But Otto just became the stoner joke guy, especially in the episode where pot became legal and Homer smokes it.
Yeah,
that he just hangs out with Homer all the time, and there was a funny joke about like they call them fingers, but they don't fing. No, wait, there they did. So he can be funny, but he really, I think the next time he'll have a major episode is when the start of the episode is him getting married.
It's like season 12 or 11 or something.
I don't know if I've seen that.
Yeah.
And his wife to be is voiced by Mighty Wind co-star Parker Posey.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so all back around to Christopher Guest and the Guestiverse, which I miss. What is Christopher Guest doing? I guess
he had that failed HBO show that was not great.
Right.
Family
that's
Tree.
Right. Yeah. Mm,
oh, well. He'll find more work sooner or later.
Mm-hmm.
So this has been Talking Simpsons, everybody. I've been your host, Bob Mackey. You can find me on Twitter as Bob Servo.
Mm.
I also write for SomethingAwful.com and USGamer.net. You can check out my other podcast, Retronauts, at Retronauts.com or USGamer.net. Every week, it's a new classic gaming topic. All these guys have been on it. It's really fun. I love doing it. So please listen. Chris, what can we find?
I just used something I cut into a dumb Facebook Talking Simpsons promo, but it occurs to me we have streamed almost every Simpsons game on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/lasertime, including multiple attempts to try and complete the Simpsons game, the last console Simpsons game, which is pretty terrible.
It moves
in hindsight
really slow.
But is
insane. The joke is it's a bad game. Everybody get it?
Kind of, but it also has, it's funny. And there's like two episodes worth of content in there.
It's weird that the Wii and the DS versions are unique as well, with unique jokes and unique like levels and settings and things like that.
They went all out there. Like they even got Harry Shearer, which who knows what mountain money they had.
Because he's the one I remember. Like, because I played the DS version, and all of a sudden Harry Shearer of the loudspeaker goes, "The sun is a mass of incandescent gas." And like, it's a really deep reference.
Yeah.
Hey, I like this DS game. And it sucks.
A big thermonuclear furnace.
Yeah, he says the whole thing, and like I thought that was great. And if you get it, then you'll like the game. Maybe like Simpsons wrestling or Simpsons skateboarding, which is infuriating to play. I have footage of that in a brand new video about bad licensed games.
I did at my old job. I did a list of ranking every Simpsons game, and I said, there are three good Simpsons game, and then you're just like you're ranking different levels of shit.
At my old job, I played and wrote about every Simpsons game.
Wow.
I went up there. The blogs are still there. People look for them.
Bartman versus Radioactive Man is an abomination.
I think Escape from Count Deadly is worse.
Is it?
It's a Game Boy.
Yeah, I haven't revisited
it
in a while.
Had even less money behind it.
Oh, it gets a lot worse than that. Trust me.
But also, you should listen to the Laser Time podcast.
There you go.
I was on this week. Where we, last week, where I was back on the show talking about Suicide Squad.
Yeah, that was a couple weeks ago, and even right after that, I'm using a Simpsons clip to talk to, as a springboard to talk about the Olympics.
Ooh.
Because
You had a break in my heart.
I've never cared much about the Olympics, and it'll be over by the time you hear the Olympics will be over by the time you hear this. But The Simpsons is the only thing that informed me as to the history of this massive thing that happened amongst nations in the Olympics, and it's just a throwaway joke for most of one episode of The Simpsons.
Yeah, I never knew. It taught me that the Russians left the 84 games.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Because we did that first. Again, I'm telling people to go back and listen to the Olympics episode, because I know you're not interested, because I wasn't really either, but this shit is insane.
And there's also, the first season of Talking Simpsons is all on the Patreon, because this was brought to you by the LaserTime Patreon.
Patreon.com/LaserTimeNetwork. You're not going to do it together?
/LaserTime Network.
Oh, LaserTime. You're right. Jeez. Wow. Fucking that up.
Confusion.
I'm fired.
And if you go there and you scroll back, if you sign up for $5 a month or more of support, you can just scroll back through the posts and you'll see Black Smithers, and he'll be welcoming you to not only the first season of Talking Simpsons, but our season 2 wrap up spectacular.
Oh, are we going to be doing a season 3
I believe
wrap-up?
We are. Okay. I don't know exactly how we're going to do it, but we
I want to do
will.
It.
When we hit stop on this, we will talk more. And you can follow me, HENERYG, on Twitter.
Cool. Thanks so much for joining us, folks. We'll be back next week with Bart's Friend Falls in Love. See you then.
There was a little noble Spanish queen, a record star, he thought he'd be. He heard a singer's life feel such a once he'd seen on TV. Why not a little Spanish queen? And so he hid inside a doggy from Madrid. Arriving here in the city, still singing his sweet harmony, as brave as anything could be. He walked around as if he owned the town, humming his fine-sized melody. With his guitar, he knew that he would be a star, and in his own hometown, how proud they'd be. His song that they all played along, for you see, they love the little Spanish flea. You'll be the rage, we'll put you on the stage. You sit on top of a shiny horn, then at a glance he knew this was a chance in store. And once a great big Spanish star was born, pride of the nation, a singing sensation was he. Though he was just a Spanish flea. A singing sensation was he. Though he was just a Spanish flea.
Sorry about that, Chief.